Volunteers of America, there are no limits to caring.
News Radio 1370, WSPD.
Danny Schaefer.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
Danny Radio on 1370 WSPD.
Appreciate you tuning in. Halfway through the program, show 416. You're listening to 1370 WSPD. I'm Danny Schaefer. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are getting down to the nuts and bolts of Scientology. Michael Tilsey, an ex-Scientologist, he left in 2003. He was a Scientologist for 27 years. Michael, we appreciate you going on so we can really find out what Katie Holmes is getting herself into as she just got engaged to Tom Cruise. Now, you don't mind taking some calls, Michael?
No, I don't.
All right, let's grab some. Let's go to Tom in Perrysburg. Tom, you're on WSPD. What's your question?
Hey, Denny. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Tom.
Here's the question. I mean, the reason we're talking to you is we sense danger for Katie. We want to keep her out of this. The walls are being put up by Scientology now to prevent her from the general public from being able to talk to her and so forth. How do we communicate with either her or her family to warn her about what you're telling us about?
Well, the major thing is that the family, the friends, the people who might have contact with Katie need to educate themselves about Scientology. They need to know, they need to read the critical sites such as Lermanet.com or read Operation Clambake, which is Xenu.net, and actually get a handle on what things are going on and the experiences of people who are in Scientology so they know what they're dealing with. The other thing is Scientology is putting up the walls, as you can pretty much see by the fact that this person by the name of, I believe it's Jessica Rodriguez, is dogging her steps everywhere she goes to deliberately keep people from having contact and trying to enlighten her about, you know, the other side of Scientology, which she will never be told by the Scientologists.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Appreciate that. Michael, so what you're saying is they will isolate her from family and friends.
They will try to, yes. And in the most part, she will exceed. What you have to understand is that I believe that what Katie is going through now is sort of the initial indoctrination into the concepts and cosmology and technology and special terms that Scientology uses. During that period of time, a person can still have some doubts and still have, you know, wonder what this is about, and most easily can be educated in the other side. But after a certain point, a person becomes self-censoring when they're in Scientology. They refuse, actually, to listen to people who might have a contrary opinion. They refuse to read information that might be contrary to what Scientology is telling them. And they begin to believe and trust everything that Scientology tells them. They have no idea they're being lied to.
Nicole Kidman, was she a Scientologist? And Mimi Rogers, who was married to Tom Cruise, were they Scientologists?
Mimi Rogers, I believe, certainly was a Scientologist. I think Nicole Kidman flirted with it or was in it to some degree. I don't, you know, from subsequent behavior, I think that she was never very committed to it.
All right, let's grab some more calls. We have Lou in Toledo. Lou, you're on WSPD.
Yeah, good afternoon. First, I just want to say that Kate is like a grown woman, so it really doesn't matter what she chooses to do with her life. And second, it doesn't seem to be much difference between Scientology and Christianity. In fact, that Christianity, they require you to give 10% of your before-tax income, and Scientology requires money, too. And then most people don't know the inner workings of Christianity, and they just blindly. So, in fact, there's really not too much difference between the two.
Well, I don't know what you know about Christianity, but I don't see any comparison whatsoever.
Oh, there's certainly a comparison. Christianity at one time was considered a cult. And it was only after Constantine came a widespread religion.
Okay, but Christianity was, most people believe, came from the Bible and God and Jesus.
Well, I have a question.
Not L. Ron Hubbard. Go ahead. Hold on, Lou. Let's let Michael respond to that. Go ahead, Michael.
Lou, are you a Scientologist?
No,
You are not?
I'm an independent thinker, yes.
You're an independent thinker, are you a Scientologist?
I'm not a Scientologist.
Oh, okay.
I don't subscribe to any religion.
the interesting thing about Scientology is at the lower levels, or when you're getting into it, Scientology tells you that it's compatible with all a meta religion that or whatever. But the actual fact is that Hubbard, at the upper confidential levels, tells you that religion is all an implanted mind memory that has nothing to do with actuality, and that people's experience of religion is only based on this mind implant.
And Lou, the other thing is, you know, when I became a Christian, I didn't have to sign a contract. Thanks for the call, Lou. Let's grab some other ones. Let's go to Jim in Sylvania. Jim, you're on WSBD. Go, Jim.
Yeah, I'd like your guests to give us the Scientology version, if there is one, of creation, heaven, hell, or an afterlife.
Oh, good question, Jim. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. Hubbard said he had been to hell, by which he meant that he was at some place millions of years ago where individual spiritual beings were somehow sucked in to an environment that was made to look like something like hell. It was so that is Scientologists' idea of hell. That it's just something that happened a long time ago that people somehow vaguely remember. The creation myth or creation understanding of Scientology is more like, well, you're a spiritual being, I'm a spiritual being, we all have these powers, but now we're all degraded and we don't know how to do what we used to be able to do. But when we were powerful, we created everything. We created the planets, we created the galaxies, we created all this stuff with our original powers. And the sort of stated goal of Scientology is to bring everyone back to a state where they can again exercise those powers. But nobody actually ever is able to demonstrate.
Thanks for the call, Jim. Do Scientologists believe or want to basically inhabit the Earth? I mean, do they want to control everything and everybody? Is that the goal?
The goal of Scientology, as it's stated, is to what they call clear the planet. And essentially that means that everyone on Earth would be a Scientologist.
Okay, let's go to Matt in Wood County. Matt, you're on WSBD with Michael Tilsey, our guest.
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
I've heard mention of a process, and you may have mentioned it before I turned on the radio, but a process called auditing.
Yes.
Where the gist that I understood is that you pay a huge sum of money to go through these audits, and they are supposed to progressively make you a better, purer person or closer to Godhood. Could you talk about what that is? Thank you.
I can talk about my experience with it. The last auditing I received cost me anywhere from $2,800 to, I believe it was $4,200 per 12 and a half hours. Very expensive.
Wow.
Yeah. The auditing is essentially you're talking to someone and they're talking to you. Now, in most therapies, simply talking to someone who's actually listening to you helps you out. It helps you sort things out and you feel better. In Scientology, auditing is a very structured activity, and it actually has a lot of similarity to hypnotic induction. And a lot of people have remarked on this. The counselor asks you questions and you answer them. And depending on how thoroughly you answer and how good you feel about it, then the counselor might stop asking you that line of questions and start another line of questions. If you're trying to sort of relieve yourself of things that you have done in the past that are bad, then they're going to ask you, have you ever done or have you ever, you know, had these kind of thoughts or, you know, has somebody ever done such and such to you? And basically you tell them all the intimate details of your life. And when I say intimate details, I mean, for instance, in my counseling, I was required to tell them when I had, say, for instance, relations with another person sexually, their name, where it was, what time it was, what we did, and how many times.
Wow.
So if Katie gets into Scientology, she's going to reach a point where everything that she might possibly be ashamed of in her life, everything she's done, will be in the records of Scientology.
All right, thanks for the call, Matt. And would they do that, Michael, because then they have something on you?
Oh, absolutely. And that's been remarked in various places.
So is this brainwashing?
It is a kind of brainwashing. This kind of brainwashing is certainly not necessarily new, but I think in terms of sophistication and in terms of the long-term effects of it, it's sort of an amped-up version of the, you know, brainwashing or the kind of mechanism that's used to make fanatics of other religions and other cults.
All right, let's go to Emmett. Emmett, you're on WSBD. What's on your mind, Emmett?
Hey, Danny. I think it's a complete waste of time talking about Katie and Scientology. It's a nobody religion. Nobody really cares about this religion, where you have a dangerous religion in the world out there, like Islam, where people are inducted every single day, and they're ready to blow themselves up to kill us. We should be talking about a cult like Islam, not something like Scientology, which is a non-existing religion.
Well, it exists. Michael, how many Scientologists are there in the country?
Scientology will tell you that they have 8 million adherents, but essentially that's anybody who ever darkened their doors.
How many of them are ready to blow themselves up? Let me ask you that. You know, how many of them are ready to blow
Please
themselves up?
Please don't divert on this topic.
Thanks for the call, Emmett. Got to go. My apologies for that guy.
Okay.
You know, it's not the same thing. Let's go to Dave. Dave, you're on WSPD. Go, Dave.
I was wondering about that guy said something about that you have to pay 10% of your tithe in Christianity. I don't know how he can compare Christianity to Scientology. Scientology sounds like it's a wacko thing. That tithing comes out of the abundance of your heart, like it says in the Word of God.
Exactly, right out of the Bible.
It has nothing to do with forcing you to do this and do that. Scientology sounds to me like they try to brainwash people and get them and turn away from the reality of life, for criminy sakes. And maybe I ought to talk to Dick Durbin. He's good at sorting out these kind of terrorist type of people that brainwash people.
Thanks, Dave. Here's the thing for the last guy who called up, Emmett. Katie Holmes is young and impressionable, and a lot of young kids will idolize her and will follow her, and they will explore with Scientology because Katie's doing it. Would you agree with that, Michael?
I would think it would certainly have a certain amount of that. We're fortunate in this day and age that we have the Internet where people can actually get the other side of the story. You mentioned about being young and impressionable, and one thing people think who aren't familiar with Scientology or haven't been in it is that somehow you have to be dumb or you have to be unintelligent.
Or emotionally weak?
To be a Scientologist. Actually, the axis is more of an emotional weakness, or if things have happened in your life that you're really not happy about, and those are the things you're trying to solve in your life, Scientology can, as it is presented to you, be a big attraction. Another thing is it appeals to the altruism of a young person. You know, they feel that, well, they want to go out there and help others and, help solve world hunger and world peace, and Scientology presents itself as an avenue to that, and that's one of the attractions.
All right, Michael, I got a couple more questions. If I could ask you to hold on for one more segment, and then we'll let you go and get on with your weekend. Hold on one second here. We'll finish up with Michael next.
Denny Radio on 1370 WSPD.
I want to know where all this money goes, and then I want to ask him about Xenu. We'll do that after this. 1370 WSPD's Tardis Traffic now with Lynn Cassidy. Lynn?
This update sponsored by Dunn Chevy Old Buick Collision Center. Remember, you have the right by law to select the collision center that repairs your vehicle. Trust Dunn's Collision Center to do it. Right. Tipster says if you are on southbound 75 in Perrysburg, expect a little bit of a delay near the turnpike. That's backed up for about a mile. And stay toward the left if you are not getting onto the turnpike. If you see that or other problems, call us here at the traffic center at 419-BIG-4-POUND tip on your Alltel cell phone. And an accident being reported right now at Sylvania and Monroe. We'll take another look at 5 o'clock in News Radio 1370 WSPD, downtown 70 degrees.
From the WTOL Futurecast Center, I'm Dave Carlson. Look for highs being the low 70s today. Partly sunny, low 50s overnight tonight. Chance for a spotty evening shower. Father's Day weekend, sunshine tomorrow, low 70s, closer to 80 Sunday. That's the weather coming your way from your official weather station, 1370 WSPD.
News Radio 1370 WSPD.
Over 41 million speeding tickets are issued every year, with the average fine over $120. Add court fees and the increase in your insurance, and your cost might triple. Why take the risk? Make your car invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar, laser, and even the new pop radar technology. With the Phantom, with 360-degree detection capability, the Phantom guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, if you get a ticket, the manufacturer will pay your fine. The Phantom is so effective that it's illegal in some states. So call now for details. Remember, the Phantom is 100% guaranteed, or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, get the Phantom today.
Call 1-800-984-9228. That's 800-984-9228. Call 800-984-9228.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, Utah, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
No, it's good. I'll get it.
Sit down.
Hello? Hold on.
Hey, get back in there and finish your dinner. I need to tell you now.
What is it, honey?
It's the dad.
Come here. Hello? No. No, he's not. No, he's not here. No, thank you. Listen, he hasn't been with us for over a year, okay? It's hard enough without you people calling around here trying to stir him up. That was my daughter you just asked about her today. And all for a sale? I wish he was here. He told you through the phone by your...
On November 25th, Vladimir Meckel was killed by a drunk driver leaving behind two children and a beloved wife. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
News Radio 1370 WSPD.
Hey, Schaefer.
Do you think it'll be a problem for me that I'm too handsome?
Denny Radio on 1370 WSPD.
It's a cross and sometimes a curse I have to bear. Show 416 rolling along nicely on 1370 WSPD. Michael Tilsey, Scientologist for 27 years. He left back in 2003. Michael, here's an email I just got. Denny, you're such a hypocrite. Scientology is a religion just like Catholicism and Islam. Shame on you to prejudice others' religious beliefs. How would you respond to that email, Michael?
Well, I'd say that that is a standard tactic of someone who's a Scientologist who's trying to prevent anybody from talking about, you know, the dark side of Scientology, if you want to be straight about it. It's not bigotry, because I'm not talking about necessarily that these upper beliefs are bad, because if they were just up, you know, just strange beliefs, well, there's plenty of other religions that have strange beliefs. But they're the fraudulent aspect of Scientology, in that they do not tell you many things about, for instance, Hubbard's life, or they do not tell you how he died, or they do not tell you about, you know, the burglaries and the things that they have done, about the things that they actually do to critics or do to judges, you know, who are trying to rule against them in the court of law. Those are all the things that make Scientology fraudulent and make Scientology something to be afraid of, not their beliefs.
How did L. Ron Hubbard die?
L. Ron Hubbard died basically living, as I understand it, living under an assumed name in San Luis Obispo. He died with 10 needle marks in, you know, in his backside, with Vistarol, which is a psychiatric drug used to calm down people who are agitated, in his bloodstream, with long unkempt fingernails and long unkempt toenails, unkempt hair, and after having suffered a stroke and experiencing periods of dysphagia, which I understand to be an inability to communicate verbally.
What year did he die?
He died in 1986.
And where does the money go? All this money that you have put into Scientology, where does that go?
There is some question as to where it goes. There are people who have testified that they were carrying suitcases of money off to Hubbard in the 70s. There's various people who say that the money goes into secret bank accounts in Liechtenstein. Arnie Lerman, in fact, I think, knows something about that. And other people have testified that, you know, they have written checks that were deposited or cleared through banks in Liechtenstein and the other small countries over there. Probably it's all hidden offshore. Some of it's in real estate. Who knows?
Tell me about Xenu.
Well, I have to say that when I was in Scientology, I never actually got to that level, and I only read about it afterwards. What I've seen is basically scans of the material which are on the net, and Xenu is the secret of the so-called OT3 story, the upper-level confidential story. And he was supposedly a galactic ruler who had a population problem. He had over 200 billion people on his planets. And this is all explained in Hubbard's writing, and you can actually find this on the net. His population problem was extreme, so what he decided to do is solve it by killing off many billions and billions of people and shipping them to Earth as frozen bodies, blowing them up with hydrogen bombs, and when they were kicked out of their bodies by the nuclear winds, he gathered them up in an electronic trap and showed them pictures for 36 days, and that those pictures are the memories that now we experience as religion and as the kind of culture we're living in and all those, and war and those kinds of things, and that we're somehow unable to get beyond those things because we've all been implanted with these ideas by Xenu 75 million years ago.
Are you at any risk by going on the air and talking to me about Scientology right now?
I expect that I may be at some risk.
All right, let me grab Richard in Grand Rapids. Richard, you're on WSPD. What's your question for Michael?
Actually, I had a question about Xenu, but you don't know that much about it, huh?
Well, from what I've read and what I've discovered after I got out of Scientology, I mean, I can tell you what I think I know about it.
Okay. I guess another question that I was just thinking while I was on hold there is, do these people know that Hubbard had mental problems before they enter into this so-called religion?
Well, you see, that's an issue, and that's why I call Scientology a fraud. No, they are not told.
Okay.
They are told in the PR that the Church of Scientology gives to its own members. You have to understand that Scientology not only has an external-facing public relations arm, but there's an internal-facing public relations arm, which tells the company line, so to speak, to all the internal members. And they're told that Hubbard is a great man, that he was a great explorer, that he was a hero in World War II, that he was a nuclear physicist, and on and on. You know, they go on about all the professions, you know, all the things he did that he was a professional in.
And none of that is true?
Well, you know, he did a bunch of things. The man actually, you know, did a bunch of things. But he also was a bigamist. He also had a long history of abusing alcohol and drugs, even up, you know, basically to the time he died. He actually was receiving a disability pension for, you know, his, what he called his war wounds, which were conjunctivitis and ulcers. But to a Scientologist who heard all the internal PR, they think he was somehow injured in battle in the war.
All right, Richard, thanks for the call because I'm running out of time. Do you find it ironic that the operating levels that you achieve in Scientology, the operating levels are called a Thetan level 3, 4, 5, 6, and on up, that Thetan rhymes with Satan?
Well, you know, I've seen that. I don't know. I think that is perhaps ironic, but I do know that there is a very close correlation. Hubbard was actually very much involved with Aleister Crowley's group of occult and Satanism back in the late 40s with Jack Parsons in Pasadena, and that's well documented.
So could Scientology be working for the devil?
It could be very, very much so. There is a document which supposedly was one of the original confidential upper-level documents in which this document purports that Hubbard basically is saying Lucifer got a bad rap. Lucifer means bringer of light or enlightenment, and Hubbard is Lucifer. So the Church of Scientology tends to downplay that document. They think, you know, they've come out and said, well, that wasn't written by Hubbard. But it actually was entered into court, I believe, as evidence.
And Michael, do you practice any religion today?
I'm pretty much burnt out on the whole religion business right at the moment. If anything is my religion, it's trying to make up for having supported Scientology for so long.
All right, and there's a lot of celebrities that are in Scientology, aren't there, besides Tom Cruise and now Katie Holmes?
Well, there are a few, and they're vocal about it. Scientology tends to use up their celebrities. I remember Charles Lakes, who was an Olympic gymnast, and I actually met him in Los Angeles.
Was Charles Manson a Scientologist, or did he just dabble in it?
Charles Manson, there's conflicting reports, but when he was in prison, he was definitely connected with someone who was involved in Scientology. There actually is quite a connection there. Some people say that he was actually doing things within the church, and when the whole Manson thing came out, the church went through a whole effort to strip all its files of any mention of Manson.